Hi, this is Michael Ryan, and welcome to Knowing Jesus. The question is, how can I trust the Bible to be the infallible Word of God? Well, there's two responses I have to that. The first is, because the Bible is supernatural. Well, how can you say such a thing? The Bible is a supernatural book. And there's several reasons for it. I won't even go into all of them, but I'll just give you a few. The first is that it's filled with prophecy. It has fulfilled prophecy all over. In fact, God writes in Isaiah that I will tell you that you'll know who I am because I tell the beginning from the end. Numerous prophecies about the rise of different kingdoms from the Babylonians to the Persians to the Greeks to the Romans. That whole succession of empires that we know today was predicted hundreds of years beforehand in the scriptures of Daniel. To the fact when scholarly archaeologists who aren't even believers in the Bible, they've read these passages and thought that they were written after the kingdoms had already been established because it was so specific as to how they came into play. But once we found the Dead Sea Scrolls, which we'll talk about another time, they confirmed that these writings were written hundreds of years before these empires came to be in power. That, among many other things, just the prophecies of Jesus Christ alone, how he was going to be killed, and Psalms 20:22, way before he even was born. This is almost 1,000 years before he was born. It was prophesied how he would be killed, that he would be, says they would pierce his side. There wasn't even any crucifixion yet. They pierced his hand and his feet. There wasn't any crucifixion yet at that time. It wasn't even created, and yet it was already speaking about it. As prophesizing it ahead of time. Crucifixion came from the Carthaginians, who were trying to honor the land because they believed it to be holy, and they didn't want any dead bodies on the land, so they would elevate the bodies as some sort of worship. And the Romans adopted it, which is how they got the cross and crucifying people on the cross. So Psalm 22 is speaking about something that hasn't even been invented yet as a means of death. When Jesus is referring to his return in the Gospel of Matthew, he's saying that unless he had shortened the days near the end, all flesh would have destroyed itself. Now, that's something that people should have been scratching their heads about up until this century, where we know that that's possible, that we have enough nuclear weaponry to destroy ourselves several times over. How could anyone even have spoke about something like that? Just and regardless of that, just all the numerous prophecies about the Messiah that no one could fit into, that Jesus fulfilled, and prophecies about other things that just... about the world that we know. So that's one thing that shows it's spiritual. The other thing that shows that it's spiritual is its historical accuracy. We know that it's when it speaks about things that we hadn't even come yet to discover, it was true. The Herod's palace, the temple, Solomon and his palace, Nebuchadnezzar, and the seven wonders of the world and what he created, just even speaking about those things, and just Pontius Pilate, that historical accuracy. I mean, there's just so many different things that it speaks about. It gives records about things that even the ancient writings of Egypt and Assyria, it's more accurate than those ancient writings that some people were relying on. There's never been any fallacy between what the Bible talks about in the past and what we come to find from our own findings from archaeology in the past. The third thing is its scientific accuracy. Back when people thought that there were a very famous scientist, his name escapes me, but he's very famous, popular. He thought that there was only 1,025 stars. Well, we know from the scriptures that the stars were innumerable, that, you know, before people were thinking that they can number the stars, and then scientists, the same ones who tell us about things that we should know now, were saying that the stars are innumerable and there's 1,025. Scripture was saying that they were innumerable. Back when people were thinking that the earth was flat, we know from scriptures that Isaiah 40:22 that the earth was round. It says that God sits on a circle of the earth. I mean, there's just bloodletting, the custom of letting blood, thinking that blood carried diseases in it, and that even up until George Washington's time, I think people believe that he might have been killed by the practice of bloodletting. They would take out the blood so that way to help people live. But we know from scriptures, even Leviticus, that the life is in the blood. And there's many more. Gravitational field, the law of increasing entropy, hydraulic cycle. There's just so many things that before it was even discovered, God was already talking about them in a way that obviously the people who are writing it, they may not have realized what was going on, but it was being declared for us, for our own eyes to see. Another thing about it that's supernatural is the structure. We're talking about a book that is compiled of 66 books from over 40 authors from over a 2,000-year span. I mean, think about that. Think about a book that is compiled of 66 books written by over 40 authors. Some were written in Egypt, some were written in Jerusalem, some were written in deserts. All of it comes together to have one theme. Over 2,000 years. They had no idea what they were writing. There was no collaboration of it. 2,000 years, over 40 authors, and yet it has one solid, consistent theme. There's something supernatural about that. I mean, you can't deny that. The other thing about it, and we can go more into that, but I'm not, is indestructibility. No other book has warranted such a consistent effort to be destroyed. I'm talking about being burnt, just being ripped apart, people buying it in the bulk and just trying to destroy it, to eradicate the religion of Christianity, and yet it's still here. And not only is it here, it's the most widespread, influential book of all time in men and in history. And lastly, I'll say, because it's alive. The Bible is alive. It's the Word of God. It's alive. It's living and it's powerful. It's active. And it convicts people. It has a change in people's heart that's long lasting. That just a testimony of people whose lives have been changed from just reading it, from just having it open their eyes. From Martin Luther, he's a devout monk who would wear a sweater of thorns on him because he thought he wasn't worthy, and he always beat himself up for being so imperfect in front of God. When he opened up the scriptures and actually read them, he came to realize that he's not justified by his own behavior, because if he was, he's going to be depressed and always want to wear a sweater of thorns. But he realized that he's justified by faith in Christ, who did everything for us. He took off that sweater, he kept reading the scriptures, and he nailed the I remember it's called the 99 points or so on the Vatican's door, the Pope's door, and he split from the faith, and split from the Catholic faith, that is. The scripture was the impetus of that, of understanding that the Bible is of that salvation comes through faith. It's not religion. It's not about man made this or that or following these section of rules. But the Bible opened up this man's eyes, and there's countless stories of people whose lives have been transformed by just reading the Word. So that's the first thing I would say. It's supernatural. And there's many reasons. I was just condensing it down, but it's supernatural, and there's so many reasons to show you that it's supernatural. But the second reason why you can trust that the Bible is the Word of God is because it says so. I mean, it absolutely says so. You know, people were asking that question when they were writing the letters. Yeah, you remember who Peter is? Peter is the guy who denied Jesus three times, and then afterwards he became one of the apostles. He says, "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty, and we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you do well to pay attention, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy is ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." So this is Peter telling you right here, listen, we didn't have myths or anything when we told you about this. We were eyewitnesses. And he's not the only one saying he's an eyewitness. In the letter John wrote, he says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard," this is 1 John chapter 1, "which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life, which we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you." these people aren't just talking about philosophical opinions or just ideas. These people are saying we've seen it with our own eyes. And the Bible of itself says that it is scripture from God. All scripture is breathed out by God. For 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable. And profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. And it says in the verse before it that it's able to make someone wise, is able to make you wise for salvation through Christ, through faith in Christ Jesus. So you got Peter who's saying, listen, every part of scripture, it doesn't come from the person who wrote it, but it came from the will of God. They were moved and carried along by God. And we were eyewitnesses to every single thing that we wrote you. I mean, why would you, what do you have to contend against that? Why would you not believe that? They're saying blatantly, and they put their life on the line to prove it. They sacrifice everything. These people were martyred. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3, "For I delivered to you as first importance which I received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." And he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive. Still alive for people to go and investigate and talk to them and say, hey, did you really see Jesus Christ rise from the dead? He's telling them over 500 people wrote it. And then he says in verse 14, "And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God or liars, because we testified ourselves about God that he has raised Christ." So, friends, I mean, the Bible is supernatural, and it proclaims that it's telling the truth. And you have to ask yourself, well, why not believe it? You know, can we ourselves affirm that it's supernatural if we just read it? I mean, there are books that we believe to be true, and we have no idea anything about the authors. We know nothing about them. You'll read a good book, and it just sounds nice, and we're just ready to believe it. And, you know, it's interesting when you start talking about the scripture, people have all these barriers up about, oh, I won't believe it. But then when you go read a magazine or a news article or a story or something from the media, we receive that without any question whatsoever. In 1 John 5:9, it talks about our tendency to do this, that we easily receive what men have to say. But we don't think about what God has to say. It says in verse 9, if we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. It's greater. For this is the testimony of God, that he has been born concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has a testimony in of itself, and this is it, that God has given us eternal life. Whoever has the Son has life, and whoever does not have the Son does not have life. So I'm saying it to you that the Bible makes it clear that it's not just a philosophical book made of people who were just sitting at home and they just wanted to be deep and they had their own personal experience with God. No, this is a very deliberate book comprised of men who were moved by God and who were eyewitnesses of everything that God did, and they wrote it to declare it to you, and you're wise if you believe it. Anything else is just going to be confusing, because people are always going to come with their ideas and their opinions and things that are true for you, but not just generally true. I'm here to tell you that you can know the truth, and it's in the scriptures. It's been preserved for you to read, to grow, to learn. It says the word of God is proven. It's a shield to those who trust in him. You can have that right now. You could be made wise into salvation right now by just taking the scriptures seriously. Imagine what your life would be like if you actually believed every word that came out of God's mouth, that you actually trusted it and obeyed it and lived it. That is exactly what this is about. It says that false teachers will come in the last days and will pull people away from the word. They'll try to twist them and distort them, and people will try to get you to believe that it's not really the word of God. And there are things in the scriptures that are hard to understand. And people, what they do is they twist it and they do something weird with it. In fact, Peter writes about this in 2 Peter 3, 16. And when he's talking about Paul's letters, he was trying to say, listen, I'm writing the same thing Paul's writing. You remember Paul, right? So check this out. And verse 15, it says, "And count the patience of our Lord as salvation, brethren, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you, according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. But there are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures." As they do the other scriptures. So he's saying, listen, you know, I'm writing to you the same thing that Paul's been writing to you according to what? The wisdom given him. He wasn't writing anything according to his opinion. He was writing to what was given to him by God himself. And he's saying some of them are hard to understand. And guess what? People go and twist them. They twist them just like they twist all the rest of the scriptures. And he says in verse 17, "You therefore, beloved, knowing this ahead of time, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability." And that's what I say to you. Be careful, because you know ahead of time that people are going to try to move you away from the word, from the law, the word of God. And they're going to start writing to you and carry you away with error, and you're going to become unstable because they're going to start writing what's best in their own eyes. And it's going to be changing and moving, and they're going to be, oh, you know, I used to think that this, and now I think this, and they come out with these new books, and they update them, and I'm just saying to you that if you really want to be stable, if you want to have your 2 feet in the ground, if you want to have a right mind, believe the word, and grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. So I hope this answers the question.